And if you're wondering, we're on a strict schedule here because we've got other services coming right behind us, so we need to move along. If you have your Bible with you and you'd like to turn to the Gospel of John, I'd appreciate that. Gospel of John, chapter 20. We're going to be reading from that. Now, before I get into the message, while you're finding Gospel of John, chapter 20, we'll start with verse 1. I'd like to extend my thanks to all those who helped prepare the Easter breakfast. There were many who did planning, who helped set up, did cleaning tables, prep work yesterday, cooking of things. You know, people, thank you very much. And when I get in the kitchen, I tend not to be very nice, not a very nice person. So to those of you, in particular Ruth, my apologies for being a jerk. This is... For me, I was really good today. Okay. We're moving on. Gospel of John, and we're going to talk about the resurrection. Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 1. It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was with him, arrived and went into the tomb, and he saw the strips of linen lying there, and as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, went in also. And he saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been. At one head, one at the head and the other at the foot. They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned to him and cried in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what he had said these things to her. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they forgive him. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this gospel message, the heart of why we can enter into your presence right now is right here. That death did not have any hold over Jesus, but that you raised him from the dead victoriously. The first fruits from the grave. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for that. And now, Lord, as we come this Easter morning to celebrate the risen Christ, I pray for your anointing to be upon me, that as I preach your word, you might use me to encourage and bless your people here. And that if there's anyone here who has not received you as Lord and Savior, Lord, might they do so, or at least be brought one step closer to you this day. Father, let your name be the one lifted up and glorified. Let your people be encouraged and blessed. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Often, on Easter, we celebrate that Jesus is indeed risen. We have the traditional Christian greeting of, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Some of you grew up with that tradition, some of you didn't. That's okay. Learn it. He's risen.
He is risen indeed.
That's right. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. He is risen. And we celebrate that. And we can be excited. And we look at the disciples and we kind of scratch our head and say, oh, these silly, silly guys, how did they not understand? Well, I can testify to being stupid quite often. I do it on a regular basis. Do things that, you know, I miss the point on something. Somebody's trying to say something. I say something one way, somebody else takes another way. I say, well, that's not the way I meant it. But that happens. We have these things. And we go, why? Because we're fallen people. We don't have God's omniscience, all-knowing. We're not all-knowing. We're limited. Some of us more than others. And when the disciples were there, one, God was kind of covering, if you would, some of their understanding, keeping some things from them. But the other is just the reality of when you're right there in the midst of something, you just don't, oftentimes you just don't see it. Jesus had been telling them, this is what's going to happen, but you never believe that that's really going to happen. Until it happens, and then you're not ready for it. We have this in life all the time. In all sorts of situations. Anybody ever have a baby? That would be for the women folk. Yeah, I was there, yeah. I was there for three of them. I saw each one. And each one was different and unique. And you know what? I thought I was ready. Wasn't. I'm big, tough guy. You know, I'm first aid trained. I'd had all sorts of things happen in my life, whatnot. I show up for the first birth of my eldest son, Jason. And he's breached, baby, and they end up having to do a C-section. And I'm right there. Well, they hadn't finished cutting yet. And I'm going, oh, and I had to sit down. I didn't understand just what it was going to be like. I thought I did, but I didn't. So let's give the disciples just a little break here. Let's give Mary and the ladies a little break. They were right there in the midst of it. We have the advantage of looking back 2,000 years and having the Word all laid out so nicely before us. We have the New Testament. It wasn't written yet. I don't know if you're aware of that, but they were kind of living in the middle of it. They hadn't studied it. They hadn't been grown up hearing those stories. They'd heard all this is going to happen, but they weren't quite ready for when it did happen. So Jesus, they didn't expect that the Savior was indeed going to have to die, though it was prophesied that that was what was going to happen. And then it did happen. And it shows, as we talked about on Friday, for those of you who missed the Good Friday service, oh, you missed it. I love the Good Friday service. We can call it Good Friday because our Lord Jesus came and died for our sins. He took them upon Himself for each of us. But we can celebrate on Easter that He is risen from the grave because He didn't have His life taken from Him in death. He gave up His Spirit unto the Lord. He was never subject to anyone. If He had not wished to be arrested, He could have with a word spoken and the host of heaven would have been there to protect Him. If He had needed it, which He didn't, with a word He could have slain them all. He chose not to. Why? So He could take His sin or our sin upon Himself so that we could be saved. And then we come here on Easter morning to celebrate the empty tomb. The tomb is empty, people. Why is the tomb empty? Because death does not have a hold on Jesus. He's not there. We're going to take communion in just a minute. But there's something else that comes with that empty tomb. It is the message of the gospel, the good news, that Jesus did indeed take our sins upon Himself and was indeed raised from the dead on the third day. And that all who will receive Him as Lord and Savior are saved and will be with the Father in heaven for all eternity. Now, that's great news. And often we forget that we were given this great news to share. So while He is risen, we are sent. Not just me, not just Carolyn. I can pick on Carolyn. She has credentials with the Alliance. And she goes to far off nations to be a Christian witness, working with Common Services. I can pick on Dan Pumla because he's got Christian credentials, Alliance credentials. Right? You are in good standing, correct? Okay. Now, Dan, and I can pick on Pastor John too. Why? Because he too has credentials. We are official workers. What does that mean? Does that mean that we are somehow more qualified than any of you to share the gospel? Absolutely not. Does it mean that we are somehow supposed to share and you're not? No. When we are sent, this sending that Jesus gives is for everyone who claims Him as Lord and Savior. And you are sent with the gospel where you are. Some of us are sent to professional Christian ministry. And some of us are sent to share the gospel right where we're at. How many of you have a place where you live? Okay. Do any of you have jobs? Okay, you take gospel when you go there. I know some of you don't. Do any of you go out of your place of residence and interact with other people? Okay, if you do that, you take the gospel with you. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. To what extent was Jesus sent? Was He sent to share the gospel as long as it was convenient or easy? Well, as we look at His life and His death and resurrection, I would say no. He wasn't sent here to live an easy life. God hasn't called a single one of us to a life of ease. Some of us are blessed with easier lives than others. Why? I don't know. But I think part of the reason that we all have different lives is so that we each have a different part of the gospel to share. Quintel talked about sharing the gospel with a man on Lake Street who apparently was homeless or at least needed help with some funds. And the Lord just led him to share. So he and Alicia shared some funds and Quintel shared the gospel message. I know many of you here have done that. David, Margie, others. That's good. That's what we're supposed to do. But you know what? When David shares the gospel, it doesn't sound the same as when Pastor John shares the gospel or when John Ives, our bass player, shares the gospel or when Doug shares the gospel or when Donna shares the gospel or when Rachel shares the gospel. She's another one who will, you know, she's cutting people's hair and they won't leave because, you know, she's got scissors. So she shares the gospel with them. Okay. And we're each to do this. Some plant, some water, others reap the harvest. We're all part of the process. We all have to participate or else the crop isn't brought in. And what is the crop? Save souls. So Jesus, He is risen. And we are sent. Because He is sent, because He was sent, we are sent. So, I'm going to ask those who are serving communion to come forward.